In your bulletins, there is a sermon outline. I think it's somewhere in like the green pages. If you want to follow along with the sermon in that way, there's a sermon kind of fill in the blank outline. You can follow along. And so it's kind of like a little mystery, a little scavenger hunt. See if you can find the sermon outline. Well, as we begin, did you know that in September, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, Collegiate Dictionary, added about 5,000 new words to the dictionary? It's the first update that they have had in some like 20 years. And so they added words like dad bod and hard pass or adulting or cold brew. But while they update the dictionary periodically, they also do have a word of the year. And each of these words of the year, I think, say a lot about us and who we are. And so for the past few years, these probably won't be any surprise, these words. 2020, the year the word was pandemic. 2021, vaccine. Do you see a projection as things go on? 2022, gaslighting. 2023, authentic. 2024, polarization. What about 2025? I even gave you a multiple choice test here today in some ways. Can you guess which of these words is a top year or top word for 2025? And so is it dig deeper or tariffs or slop or conclave? The word for this year, last year, was slop. Believe it or not. It was first used, this word slop, in the 1700s to mean soft mud, this picture here. And speaking of mud, and this next one, I don't know what to make of it, this picture here, this next one. Yeah. So kind of that's an image you want to get in your mind on a Sunday morning, right? And so 1700, this word was used to talk about soft mud, slop. And it's changed over time, it's evolved over time to mean really something of little value. And so this word slop today is used really in reference to all the stuff we see online, social media, AI, all the videos we see. I don't know about you, but when I watch videos lately, I've been wondering, is that AI produced? Is that picture a real picture? Or has it been produced? Is it slop? So instead of soft mud, daily we wade through digital slop. We wade through life of slop, crazy videos, fake images, AI, and just life itself has its slop. Moments that cause us to drop to our knees, challenges, sin, sickness, brokenness in this world today. Words are important. Slop was the word of this past year in 2025. And already there's some words taking shape that certainly could fit 2026. But think about words for a moment. Words bring value. They give meaning to life. Words are the foundation of our relationships, of communication. They're the key to relationships, right? What if you didn't use words in the relationship with your spouse or your kids? What if you never spoke to each other? How would that work out for you in your relationships? Not very well. And so, you know, words are important. Words like this, we're having a baby. It's terminal. I quit. A few months ago, you heard words like this. I accept the call to serve at Blessed Savior Lutheran Church. Words matter, don't they? They shape our existence and who we are. John's gospel, this is the first blank this morning, but John's gospel is all about words. And think about what a word is. It's a combination of letters that are strung together in a very unique way to form a word that gives meaning. And so John 1, as we're stepping into this morning, John 1 is a summary of the entire book of John. In fact, this section that we're looking at in John 1, 1 to 5, well, it's the whole, we heard it all a little bit ago, but it's called the prologue. And so John 1 is a summary of the rest of the book. sort of an overview of what is to come. And it's not talking about a word of the year, but the word of life itself. John has 21 chapters, some 15,635 words in the Greek language, 19,094 words in the King James Version of the Bible. And there are several repeated words, you know, talking about words that make up the Gospel of John. The word believe, pisteo, in the Greek language is used some 100 times throughout the book. Life, zoe, is used 78 times. You know, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have life, have it in my name. The word love, agape, is used some 47 times. And all of these words that are repeated throughout John's gospel, they point to one place. Any ideas? To the Word Himself, to Jesus. John's gospel is all about words, but not just any word. As we see in verse 1, let's read this verse together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Do these words sound familiar to you? They might, because these words actually take us back to some very similar words, to the very beginning of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, to creation itself. And so John, through these words in John 1, is pointing us back to Genesis 1, to the beginning of it all. In the beginning was the Word. This is the beginning word today. In the beginning was the Word. With these words, John is setting the stage again for the entire book. And if we look at the first words of Genesis 1, remember those words? In the beginning, God, right? Let's read these couple verses together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In the beginning, God created. The first book of the Bible is named what? Genesis, right? Genesis is all about beginnings, in the beginning. It's the title of the book, means beginnings, Genesis. And so John is connecting us in John 1 to Genesis 1, to the beginnings there, and his creative act done in Genesis 1, a new beginning. And so John loads this section with creative words, words like this, in the beginning, life, light, darkness. And all of these words, they point to a creation and how God is creating again. Genesis 1 describes the first creation. John 1 describes the new creation. This word is the bringer of this new creation, the Logos who takes on flesh for us. And so this is, we're given the word, is what this, it's all about. This word doesn't stay far off. It's not just letters jumbled together to form something, but this word gets personal. God has given us the word. He sends Jesus to show God's will. God could have come in any way, shape, form that he chose to come as, right? He could have come as whatever object, however, whenever he wanted to come. He could have come as an adult, as a child, an animal, anything. He could have come in as an adult and died on the cross and tomb, but no. He chose to come as a baby, humble and defenseless. And as we look at this word, this Jesus, we are better able to understand God and who he is and what he's all about. I don't know if you've read anything about Max Lucado, but Max Lucado just has this way with words to describe things that just kind of breathes life into them. And in one of his books, he describes Jesus as a baby and how this Jesus looks anything but a king, anything but a God. This child, Jesus, who's crying, is strong and healthy, a voice piercing in the sky. He is absolutely dependent on mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, for everything. He goes on to share these words are in your outline. He says, majesty in the midst of the mundane, holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat, divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, and in the presence of a carpenter. You know, we better understand God as we look at this Jesus born in a manger. The Word, Jesus, enters our lives, not just in this Bethlehem manger, but today, here and now, through His Word, through His body and His blood, which we'll receive in just a little bit. He's at work through these things to make us into a new creation. That John 1 thing we're talking about, a new creation. That's what Christmas is all about. It's what being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is all about. It's an opportunity for us here today to say the word Jesus. There's an old familiar story you've probably heard before, but it fits so appropriately for today. It comes at a time during World War II, and there's a battleship whose forward watch sees a light in the distance that looks like that's heading straight for them. And so a radio message is sent, and they said, unidentified ship, you are on a collision course. Change direction 10 degrees starboard. And the reply back was simply this, no, you need to change direction. The battleship said again, this is a U.S. warship. Change direction 10 degrees starboard. And the reply was just one word this time, no. By this time, the admiral was woken up. It's the middle of the night, and the admiral sends a message then to this mysterious light in the distance. He says, this is a warship on official maneuvers. You are ordered to change direction. Signed, Admiral Peacock. It was tense, you can imagine. And the voice from the other end said, no. Signed, Seaman Smith, watcher of the lighthouse. So, sometimes in life, we find ourselves on a collision course, don't we? Sometimes in life, things happen that it seems unavoidable, walking through seasons of slop, years and months of slop, sickness, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship. And maybe you just can't seem to get ahead in life. Things happen that hurt us to our core. You know what? There's a word for that. You know, I picked up a little phrase that my mom would say all the time growing up, in good times and in bad. She would say, thank you, sweet Jesus. And she said it with this southern twang, and being from Minnesota, that always confused me. I didn't quite understand that, even, you know, that kind of southern accent being from Minnesota. But she'd say, thank you, sweet Jesus, during the good times and the bad times. And the beautiful thing about saying these four simple words, I didn't really think about it much at the time, but looking back, saying those four simple words, they are a reality check, a bit of a prayer that re-centers us back on the important. And the point behind those words is that they draw us back to Jesus. Because God is the giver of gifts, the giver of good gifts, and He wants to give you His best. And so when things happen that are so big, so broad, so hard that we just can't seem to wrap our minds and arms and hearts around them, times that we find ourselves wading through just miles and miles of what feels like slop, just say the word. Thank you, sweet Jesus. These words, they change our perspective and refocus us on the Word, Christ Himself. That's what the Bible does. That's what life in His Word does for us and in us and through us. Life in this place as the body of Christ refocuses us back on Jesus. We need what's offered here, right? I need what's offered here. because it recenters me and all of us back on Jesus to see another collision course, another deep field of slop, how Jesus did all of this for us. He stepped in the mud and the muck of this world. He took on flesh. You know, you talk about slop and mess, nails, sin, shame, anger, hate, fear. Lots of tough words we see going on in our world today lately, aren't there? You can't help but see them if you go on social media or look at any news channel today. But there's a word for that too. And so we're in this series called All Things New, looking at those areas where God wants to make a new thing in us. And we're going to see how following Jesus changes everything. It is a season of new pastor, right? New start. But new, if we're honest, can be scary. Because new means change. It means exciting things as well. And so we're in this series starting today, starting to navigate and talk about how we can navigate those new things as we explore some of those new shifts that are talked about in the Bible. Not all of them, but just a few of them. Renewed youthfulness, renewed family, renewed mission and community. Because God is in the business of new things. John even tells us that. He tells us why he wrote his gospel. He says in John chapter 20, "These things are written so you may believe Christ, Jesus is the Christ, and by believing you may have life in his name." Life, Zoe, eternal life, full life. There's a word for that. Jesus. New life, new hope, new creation. And God has given us the best new we could ever hope for. He's given us the Word, the Logos. Words are important. And today we're still in that afterglow of Christmas, where God has given all of us that special Word, not wrapped with ribbons and bows, but wrapped with flesh and blood, as he talks about in verses 12 and 13. About this Word that comes so close to us here today. "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." He has come to make us children of God, a new creation in Him and through Him. And there's a word for that, right? And the Word certainly isn't slop. It's not some word of the year, but the Word to life itself. You know it. Creation waited for it. Mary and Joseph nurtured it. The angels proclaimed it. The shepherds followed it. The magi adored it. But what about us? Our lives are changed by it, right? There's a word for that. Say it with me, Jesus, right? Absolutely, amen to that. All things new. Thank you, sweet, sweet Jesus. Father, we come before you and thank you so much for making us into something new. We thank you for this new beginning that starts today here at Blessed Savior. We pray that you would be in us and work among us that new thing and to always lead us back to that Word which is our life itself, that creative Word that gives us life from this world to the next. There's a word for that. And we thank you for that Word that comes so close here today once again, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.